Father, we are thankful once again for the opportunity to assemble ourselves with those who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth of who and what you are. We pray, Father, that all that we do will be a sweet savor, glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song. Thank you very much, Brian and Wes. Okay, last Sunday was, I hope you benefited by listening to Bill and Pat. It was such a privilege having them in my home and spending time with them. And we'll just continue to be in prayer and support in so many different ways. So that was good. Bill Hess, how you doing? Good to see you. Very good. Good to see him. It was so much fun listening to a World War II pilot, bomber pilot Bill, and then Vietnam pilot Bill Grizzly, and just sat there and got to listen to them talk. That was a wonderful privilege. Let's talk about prayer. Okay, first of all, we need to continue to be in prayer for Tish. She continues to fight cancer. Need to be in prayer for Nathan as he makes up his mind and makes decisions in regard to the military. There's no set date, is there, for him to go in? Physical Thursday, okay. Need to be in prayer for Amber. Need to be in prayer for Lisa. And need to, let's see, Jim, Vic Edwards called? Did he have any special requests? Okay. And, of course, George and Cindy. And, yes. Tuesday. All right. Need to be in prayer. Whereabouts is she having a surgery? I'm sorry. It isn't important. Anyway, she's going to have surgery Tuesday. Somewhere. All right. We'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Sharon. We need to be in prayer for Sharon. My goodness. She's been down all week, so we need to be in prayer. What are you doing to that poor lady? My goodness. And so we need to be in prayer for Sharon and the Spirit. Hazel, we need to definitely be in prayer for Hazel. She did not have a heart attack, but she had other complications. Is she still in the hospital?
Yes, all right. Collapsed lung.
Collapsed lung. All right, wow. Okay. So we need to be in prayer for Hazel. And yes?
My son Steve, would you all pray for him? He's out of the hospital, doing great. He had an inflamed pancreas, but it's clearing up.
Okay. We'll continue to be in prayer that it'll stay. And you go in for your surgery on your knee the 15th of May? 15th of May, okay. And no, we'll keep in prayer and prepare to sustain your leg between then and now. You're in pain now, right? Yeah, wow. Okay. My goodness. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay. Yes? Yeah, your wife's going overseas, isn't she? Okay. And so, let's see now. Your wife's going to Greece. And you're going to where while she's away?
Reno.
I got that. I got this down real good, kid. Real good. Oh, it's business. Yes, it's business. Yes. Just happened to be Reno. Happened to be while your wife's in Greece. It's amazing how these things work. We'll be in prayer for travel. When do you leave?
When?
All right. Okay, we'll be in prayer for both of you as you travel. Okay, Chris, your leg doing good?
I have a lady at work.
Wow. Oh, wow. Her name is Pat?
Yeah.
Okay, be in prayer for Pat. Thank you very much. Very good. Chris, your leg healing all right?
Yes.
Going to be back on the court soon?
Middle of May.
Middle of May, all right.
I'm just going to stand under the
basket. Stand under the basket, though. Oh, a Maverick stood away from the basket last night. But, okay. All right, let's remember all of these prayers. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. We're now entering into a family facet of worship called the offertory. It is designed for believers only. If you're here and have never accepted Christ as Savior, the only offering that is of issue for you is the offering on the cross, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The offering is not only, though, for our believers. It's for believers who know how to be filled with the Spirit. So many believers give in the energy of the flesh to impress God, out of guilt, to all kinds of reasons that do not line up with the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it is designed, the offertory is designed for the believer who knows how to give in the filling of the Spirit. Paul said, if I give everything to the poor so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. And love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it is dependent upon being knowing how to be filled with the Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this facet of worship, it is our custom to be reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country, the freedom to do with our lives, our resources, our time, as we see fit. To marry whom we wish, to live where we wish, to go to whatever church we desire, to do with our money and our time. And Father, we are most appreciative for the men and women who have provided this freedom through the history of this country, our military forces and police. We are appreciative for the sacrifices. Some on the, gave their lives on battlefields. Many are in harm's way right now, this very hour. We do not take this freedom lightly. We are most appreciative for it. But Heavenly Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free, through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom, what to do with our time and our money, where to live, where to go to church and why, whom to marry and why, what to do with our money and why. So, Father, as we cross both spheres of freedom in this worship, we're so appreciative for this assembly. We pray that you will continue to bless this humble assembly and use it, and use these offerings for the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Okay, this morning we finish a very important section of Romans chapter 1, 18 through 22, and let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to things that He would have us to see in these verses and challenge and have an impact in our lives and our marriages and our homes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that You would have us to see in these passages. There is no way that we will comprehend everything that is here, but there are things, Heavenly Father, that You would have us to see and grasp at this time, at this point in our lives and in lives of our nation. Pray that Your Spirit will give me the words of wisdom and truth, communicated in spiritual love, that we might grasp the significance of what Paul wrote. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin in verse 18 of this passage. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness without God and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident in them. So every human being reaching the point of God consciousness knows there is God. But what they do is they suppress what they know and deny the existence of God. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, okay, this is the outer manifestation, the outer witness that there is a God. There is the inner witness that God puts into every one of us. Then there is the outer witness. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature stood, His divine nature have been clearly seen. All right, we look at the creation of the world, it's clearly seen. We can either deny that or acknowledge that, but it is clear. And we took the Greek, and it means clearly seen. Having understood, being understood through what has been made, created, so that they are without excuse. That brings us to verse 21, where we left off last week. So even though they knew God, they did not honor Him, Jesus Christ, as God, nor did they give thanks to Him. And there we spend some time on a thankful life. You have nothing else to be thankful for. Thankful that God has revealed and manifested Himself to us, and that He has then revealed and manifested His Son to us. But instead of believing in Him and acknowledging what they know, and instead of, and by the way, the word honor, you recall, did not honor Him, and the greatest honor that we can give Him is faith, to believe in Him. That is the honor. And then to give thanks. But instead, as a result of rejecting Him, they received futile or worthless thinking, and their foolish hearts received darkness, so they could not see truth. And then we begin now with verse 20, the next verse, and this is the end result of man without God. professing to be wise, they became fools. Okay, there's a process going on in these verses. And the process is, one, first they know God exists. Different societies, different age, where we reach the point of God consciousness. But we know there is a God. Then they suppress the existence of that God. They come up with foolish speculations, futile speculations. Speculations, what this refers to, the foolish thinking, refers to trying to understand how the world got here, how man got here, where man is going. So they come up with all of their foolish speculations to explain away God. They claim to be wise in their speculations. They've got all their scientific, philosophical evidence. They became fools. They become fools. Now, there's a very important movie at your theaters right now. It's not going to have any action. It's not going to have any gunplay. It's not going to have any profanity. It's a documentary. It's called Expelled. No Intelligence Allowed. It's by Ben Stein. If you haven't seen it yet, I don't know if I've ever really recommended a movie, but this one, well, The Passion of the Christ, but this one, I encourage you so strongly to see. You do not want to miss this movie. It is a documentary in movie form. It's a documentary on how the scientific world is excluding, excusing, expelling any scientist who believes in intelligent design. It's not about Jesus Christ. It's not really about anything that we would put on the spiritual side. It's about the freedom in America for somebody to believe what they want to believe without jeopardizing their job. And he will document professors who lost tenure because they believed in intelligent design. Intelligent design presupposes God. And he does a superior job in pointing out that while they deny intelligent design, and while they can take everything from the point of its existence, they can't explain how it got here. And it is amazing with these words that we have, foolish expectations, foolish speculations. And you're going to hear some of the most foolish explanations of how it all began. And it's worth your time, it's worth your money. And the fact the last interview is worth the money itself. But if you go in there with this little flow of verses 18 through 22 in your mind, you'll see what happens when you want to take God out of the equation, when you want to take God out of the beginning place of creation. But we're going to see it in not only there, but in this passage, we're going to see it morally, philosophically, ideologically, scientifically, what happens when a society takes God out. And that's exactly what is happening in America today. Okay. Professing to be wise. All right. The word to profess is the Greek word phosko. Phosko means to affirm. It means to assert. It means to claim. And you'll hear a lot of claiming in the presentation of Ben Stein's movie. The result of thinking without God is delusional. You're deceived and delusioned about things that you see. So they profess, they claim the present tense, which is so important. This delusion is found in every person who starts his thinking without God, without Jesus Christ. When you start your thinking without Christ, without God, these are the things that are going to happen. People, you cannot have your thought process without God, without Christ, without it affecting the way you think about where you came from, where you're going, what's going to happen after death, and your moral structure. Verse 23 and following, going to develop what happens morally as a society and a people take God out and deny the being of God. Now, the active voice here, it's a present and then the active, this is unbelievers. The active voice is unbelievers with a darkened soul. Heathens, unbelievers. I don't care how intelligent they are. A heathen is one that doesn't believe in the existence of the true God. And this causes them to claim to be wise. This delusion, because there's a delusion when we deny God, when we deny Christ, it sets up a darkness. And you're not going to see where you are. And this delusion is in every generation. In some generations, as in the world we live in today, it's a saturation of delusion. And with the greater the delusion, the greater is the proclaiming to be wise. We have all the answers. And what is so interesting, some of the most intelligent people you want to come across, Ben Stein will interview. And when he comes down, well, how did it all begin? They have no answer. But they know it isn't God. They know that, but they don't know how. And so this delusion, which leads to proclaiming to be wise, is growing in the world that you and I live in. And there are so many reasons that I feel for children today, and this is just another one. I would not want to be a young child today. I wouldn't even want to be a teenager today. In today's world, I guess the 50s were just hidden, and we were naive. But what is given to the children today is a delusion and darkness, and a maximum number of people suppressing the being of God, at God consciousness, rejecting Jesus Christ at gospel hearing. And then they come up with all kinds of futile thought, foolish thinking in the scientific realm, in the philosophical realm. I gave you the 7 worldviews by Dr. Noel. And it's amazing how powerful is a Darwinian view throughout the world and what happens with that worldview to displace the being of God. Claiming to be scientific, claiming to be sound thinking, claiming to be true, claiming to be wise, forcing it on educators, forcing it on people, teachers, taking any possibility of God out of the realm of reality. Okay, so they make their speculations, their reasoning, and then they claim that they are right. People make a lot of claims in life. If I were a parent, one thing my daughter would know, just because some jerk says, I love you, don't buy it. We make all kinds of claims in life. Just because a person claims something doesn't make it true. Just because someone claims something doesn't make it true. And this is going to be very important throughout the Bible. For an example, in the book of James, they claim to be in faith, but they were not. They were not in faith. In 1 John, they claim to be in spiritual love, but were not. evident by the fact that they were angry at other believers, their fellow believers in Christ. In 1 John, they claimed to not to sin. 1 John 1:8. And that anger and hate. So they were in sin. In John, the Gospel of John, they claimed to be in the light, but were in darkness. In John 14, many claim to pray in His name, but are not praying in His name. Just because you add in Jesus, we're doing this right now, Wednesday night, just because you say in Jesus' name, people, that isn't some kind of a magic formula. Oh, well, God, well, now I got to do it. They said in Jesus' name. They said it. They said those magic words. People, it's not the words. Got to know what it means to pray in Jesus' name. I'm not saying we don't want to end our prayers in that. I do that. Done it since I was a lad. But just because we add in Jesus' name doesn't mean it's in Jesus' name, people. See, many people will claim, but it's just not true. Just because you claim to be praying in His name does not mean that you're praying in Jesus' name. So prophesying or professing to be wise, the Greek word for wise is sophos, and here it is a delusion of the life without God. I'm wise. I have concluded there is no God. I've concluded that Christ is not the Son of God. And therefore, I am wise and everyone ought to listen. So professing to be. The word to be is a present active infinitive of the verb eimi, the absolute verb. And then we have the word wise. Sophos. Another activity of the mind. People, the battle is in the mind, not the emotions. The battle is in the mind. Your mind is the battlefield. What you allow to go into your brain, what you allow to come out of your brain, how you thought, the thinking part of our being is where the battle lies. Now this is another place, professing to be wise. We could just spend a great deal of time, but let's just see if we can summarize it and go through a few things here as we work through it. The ability to apply with skill what one knows. Implied the word sophos implies deep understanding or discernment and sound judgment. That's just taking the word for what it means. This is what the word means. So first, these wise people deny the being of God as creator. Then they deny Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Yet they claim to be wise. Then they gather the facts, and over the years, more and more facts, with their microscopes, telescopes, colliders, and so on, and all these things, then they skillfully analyze and come up with their skillful deductions and claim to be wise with their answers as to how we got here, which they have none, where it all started. In other words, even if you believe that it all started with just a little plow, where did that come from? Where did the life from non-life come? So they go through all of these and put all of these together. And this is where we are today. This is what is happening. It's just amazing. Not long ago, Time magazine did a deal of the missing link, and they had a picture on the front page of it. And if you read the article, which I'm sorry most people don't, the bones of this fabricated first man were from 6 different locations, 100 miles separated, and this foot that was to sustain had one bone. Our feet have over 26. One bone, and yet people, oh, that's it. And this proves this. That's what the article said. It's amazing. We gather all of this material, put it all together. Oh, well, there's no God. This is how it all happened. And we calculate it. And I love God because he's made the foolish things to just look so foolish, and yet they're the great wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And oh, we've calculated the world is billions of years old. Now, I don't know how old our world is. If we go to all three universes, the first universe, the second universe, and third universe, first universe, where Satan and God had their first battle, and then he cast the demons into the deep, and then the second universe starts in Genesis 1, and then the third universe is eternity future, it may be. But there's just no way that it could be in the 6 days. That's just scientifically impossible. Scientifically impossible. Because we've taken God out of the equation. Just can't work. It cannot be that way. Why? Because we're smart. Because we figured it all out. We've got it all understood. Now, people, there is such a thing as horizontal evolution. Horizontal. Where you have a better word than evolution is adaptation. Adaptation to environment. Adaptation. But vertical evolution, where you have one species going into another, no. No proof of that whatsoever. That really defies sound thinking. To have vertical evolution. Horizontal evolution, absolutely. Adaptation, absolutely. But to have one species come out of another species, no. There's no sound thinking there. But this is what they've come up with as their solution to all of these things. Okay. 2. The biblical concept of wisdom. The biblical concept of wisdom is theocentric rather than anthropocentric. In other words, God-centered rather than man-centered. That is, wisdom is God-centered, God-based, rather than man-centered or man-based. This is wisdom. Begins all understanding with God. When this is not done, it's going to have its repercussions. It's going to have its repercussions in our thought. It's going to have our repercussions in our moral activity, which will come up in verses 23 and following. All right. Job 28:28. You don't need to turn there. I've got it on the board for you. 28:28. Well, I don't have it on the board. So, let's open the Bible to Job 28. Job 28. Now, let's think about what we're turning to. We're turning to a book that is without question, first book written of the Bible, not Genesis. This is the first book written. It was written approximately 2000 B.C., written approximately 4,000 years ago. It's the first book of the Bible. It's the first thing God wanted us to know. And misunderstanding of this book is dangerous. Misunderstanding of this book leads to a lot of problems. This is the first thing that God wanted us to know. It's filled with the mythological figures. It's filled with the warfare. It's filled with the great question. And we've studied it so many times here. 10 questions in Job that the rest of the Bible will answer, especially Romans. How can a man be right before God? How can he as clean, unclean be clean? Who can make the clean out of the unclean? And Satan says no one in the book of Job. But let's take a look at Job 28, verse 28. 28:28. And to man He said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Okay, the word for fear. The word for fear here, yara, is a word that has two opposite meanings, two almost opposite meanings. The word can refer to fear in the sense of dread. Fear, as we normally think of the word, you put your hand over your eyes and just open it up a little bit. That way the monster can't get in when you're a kid watching your movie. Can't get in. It can be that kind of fear. Or it can mean fear as in awe. Respect of the Lord, as it is used here. Respect, awe, reverence of the Lord. That is wisdom. I know children who make C's in school, who are wiser than the wise scientists that are leading thinkers of the world, because they believe in God. They start their thinking with God. Hopefully their parents taught them that, not the church. And I mean that. I hope the parents did it, not the church. We want to teach our children here. Get them one shot on Sunday. Parents every day are so responsible. I know parents that care about their children's teeth more than they do their soul. Spend tremendous amount of money to be sure those little teeth are straight. So when they smile, they'll have straight teeth. Not thinking about what they're going to be smiling about. What's going on in their soul. And this takes everyday communication. Every day. Not just send them to some Christian school and think, okay, well then it's a Christian school, so that takes care of that. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It's your responsibility. One of the most horrifying things has happened in Texas. The state has decided your children belong to us and have taken children away from their mothers. Down in that Mormon thing. I know no crime has been charged yet, but children have been taken away from their mothers. So now we see the state has a right to say your children are ours. And Texans are just going on with it. People, those are our responsibility. But here it says that is wisdom. The respect, the awe of God. The word for wisdom here, again, means a deep understanding and discernment. Fear of the Lord, acknowledgement of His being, respect, awe of His being. This is wisdom. Wisdom in life, death, before all things God is, and the source of all life, God. And to man, He said, "Behold, the awe of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Now, what is evil? What is evil? Things that we do to one another? Things that an adult may do to a little child? People, all that's perversion. The greatest evil on planet Earth. Please listen. I should have this in an overhead. The greatest evil on planet Earth is distortion of the gospel. Adding to the gospel how to come to God. Well, you got to repent. Well, you got to invite Him into your heart. You got to make Him Lord. You got to do this. You got to join a church. You got to be moral. You got to change your life. You got to do all these things. Anything other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the greatest evil. Is any distortion of the gospel. That's why Paul in Galatians 1 talks about how he is amazed that they have so quickly deserted the gospel. And there are those who distort it. Distorting doesn't mean it takes it away from you. Distorting the gospel does not mean it's taken away from you. Distorting the gospel is tweaking it just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just adding a little. Yeah, you got to invite him into your heart. You got to make him Lord. See, you've got to do something. Faith is a passive verb. Faith is non-meritorious. Faith is where we receive by doing nothing. All these other words are verbs of action and are not biblical. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Distorting. But let's take that gospel concept, because if we broaden our talk of the gospel, it deals with, first of all, God consciousness, that there is a God. So it says, and to depart from evil is understanding. So what is evil in the context here, that God is not to be feared? God does not exist. God is not to be given the reverence. So each of these come under the heading of the word evil. Since then, evil is a distortion of the gospel, and the gospel being the way to God. Evil is a denial of God, a distortion of the true God. So Job 28:28, and he said, and to man he said, behold, the awe, the reverence of the Lord, the acknowledgement of his existence, and the thanks and honoring of him of that. That is wisdom. Is this book sufficient? This is a question every one of you have to decide. Is this book sufficient for all of the decisions that we have to make in life? Is this book sufficient to handle stress, anxiety, depression? Is this book sufficient for wisdom and understanding? Or do I have to go to extra biblical? I'm going to have to go over the fruit of the Spirit in dealing with an appendium to stress, anxiety, and depression. Then there we have the pattern. We have the perfect cure to all of these kinds of things that are going on. Now, please turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, and let's begin verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord. Okay, there's that same word. It can be translated dread, or it can be translated an awe, a reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. I have to comment on his commandments. Okay? One pastor can get up here, oh man, it's all those commandments in the Bible. It's the big 10 commandments. It's this and that. People, we've seen in John and in 1 John, there are two commandments. To believe and to love. And love is the greatest work of faith. So they can be viewed as one, singular, or two, plural. Now, let's read Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Now, people, think with me. What did we just read in Romans chapter 1? That they did not honor him, nor did they give thanks. They did not honor him, nor gave thanks. Once we understand the being of God, it becomes a natural to give thanks to him. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my thinking, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord, creation, salvation. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, the creation of the universe and all the universes. And his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who have awe of him. Now hear the spiritual food. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works. Now those that do not want it, then he doesn't make it known. In giving them the heritage of the nations, the works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and in uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people, coming Messiah. He has ordained his covenant forever, the Abrahamic covenant, not the Mosaic. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear, holy and awesome is his name, therefore we have this awe of him. The awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his, and the ideal is his command, that is, the faith and the love. His praise endures forever. So, we have the thanksgiving. It's creative works. Now, I think I have this one on the Proverbs 1:7. I put it on the overhead just so we could get to this one. The fear of the Lord, that's the awe, the respect of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom, knowledge. And to understand where I came from. To understand where I'm going to go after death. That will help me understand the now. See, the past determines the present and the future. That's why, people, you never want to move away from the cross. The cross is our past. The cross determines how we're going to live today. The past, our past, determines. So what's that? One of the things that's characterized modern America is that so many, a great mass number of people have moved away from great-grandmother and grandmother and even parents. They have nothing around them about their past to guide them. They've moved away from everything. Don't move away from your past. Believer gets into sin. And I mean stays in sin for a long time. I'm not worthy to come back. People, what condition were you when you first came? You were his enemy. What did you do when you first came at the cross? By faith. So what are you going to do now that you've been away from? By faith. It's that simple. You never want to move away from the past. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, understanding, and instruction. Okay. Let's go back now to Romans 1:22. Professing, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Morano. It's the English word, moron. To cause to lose its taste. To cause to lose its purpose for which it exists. It means to lacking in ability to make judgment, to be prudent. The aorist tense, they became fools, it's a verb. And the aorist tense, it's used to state the historical fact that as one tries to explain all things apart from God, they become dull in their thinking and lacking the ability to make sound judgments. And this is one thing, if you do make it an effort, and I do hope that you will, make it an effort to go and see this movie. But one thing is, they can start with things being here and do a lot of observing and things like that. But when it comes down to the clear thinking, how all of this starts and where it all going and where it's headed and how it impacts our life, you're going to see how your view of God, intelligent design, creation, the being of God and of Christ is going to affect not only your thinking in regard to how we all got here and all, but then your morality. If you eliminate God, there's no basis of the morality. And that's the reason why Paul in Romans 1 is going to go to homosexuality and lesbianism as an example of how your thinking without God is going to affect your thinking in regard to science, philosophy, but also morality. Take God out of the equation. Make man there alone. He has nothing to hold him. So this will make sense, what is going to be happening in the next part. The passive voice here, becoming fools. Remember the passive voice, the subject receives the action of the verb. That's why when the passive voice is used, subject receives the action of the verb. These people who deny God and then try to explain things apart from God receive being fools. They become fools, foolish in their thinking. I'm not saying they're babbling around in an institute. They might ought to be, but they're not bound. These are very sound thinking people as far as the world is concerned. These are sound thinking people. They've got unbelievable degrees and abilities, teaching in universities, explaining the mysteries of life, and they're fools. I can take a child that came from God is wiser than these people in their thinking. So I want you to see the passive voice is something that they become. You start off with denying God, then you start reasoning out things on how everything got here, why we're here, where we're going. You receive dullness. What this means is a fool is a fool because he's not related to reality. If we take even a fool in the normal sense of thing, we think about that those people that are in special places, in hospitals and things. They're not in the realm of reality. Clothing, thought, act, manners and things. Well, people, if you deny God, you're out of the realm of reality. You're out of reality. So therefore, your thinking is foolish, out of the realm of reality. Just like what we normally, when we think of a fool and a foolish person, something in an institute, they can't think. They're out of the realm of reality. They don't know about clothes and action and all this. When you take God out, this is what's going to happen. You're going to receive this foolish thinking. Problems of man are spiritual, people. It's not scientific. It's not scientific. It's not moral. It's not philosophical. It's spiritual. The invisible. The real, but invisible. Those are the problems. That's the problem of man. Not economical, not racial, but spiritual. Yet, if one denies the existence of the one true God, or denies Jesus Christ as the Savior, this person receives becoming fools in their thinking. They just receive it. Because if you take away that, then you've got to have your thoughts start coming from somewhere. If you take away the being of God, if you take away the person of Jesus Christ as the only way to God, then you're thinking you've got to come up with other ways of coming in contact with your God. Got to come up with other ways of thinking. And it's amazing, the bizarre thinking. I understand, and I've never watched the show. I understand this. Oprah Winfrey has now got people all across this country reading some book about the New Earth, which is just a cosmic understanding of New Age type of thing, of God and of Christ and of all of these things, because you deny that first. And if you deny that first, then you've got to come up with something to take its place. It's like reincarnation. If I deny Jesus Christ and I deny God and I deny the, then, well, I got to come up with something. Well, I'm going to come back as a frog. I'm going to come back as a pig. I'm going to come back as a hawk. and all these things. Or I lived this life. I was in King Arthur's court. And all this kind of unbelievable, foolish nonsense. But it's not nonsense if you take away God. It's not nonsense if you take away the being of a creator. So these things are part. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. Though they would deny it, this is reality to them. So here they make a claim to be wise in their answers to the questions about origins. And professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you, believers not walking by faith in the Spirit, walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. That is, as unbelievers walk. And the word for walk is our daily life, the way we live. In the futility of their mind. There's that futility in the mind again. Your mind is the battlefield. In the futility of their mind. Now, the word in the futility, it means vanity, futility, worthlessness. Worthlessness as far as reality is concerned. This is the noun of the verbal form we had in Romans 1:21 for worthless. The Greek word for mind refers to the function of the mind. What's the function of the mind? Thinking. People, this is the battlefield. Why? Why is their thinking worthless? The answer is given in verse 18. Let's look at verse 18. Being darkened. The same darkness as in Romans 1:22. Only there was their heart that was darkened. Here it's their mind. Same thing. Heart and mind. The heart is used to refer to the person himself, while here the mind refers to the activity of the mind. Being darkened. When you eclipse the light of God, of Jesus Christ, people, you're in the darkness. It's that simple. This is the key. When you eclipse out of your thinking the being of God and Jesus Christ, you are in darkness. Now, you may think you understand everything and understand all that you're seeing. It all makes sense to you, but you're in darkness. In their understanding, being darkened in their understanding. Denial refers to the way of thinking. The way of thinking, the calculated way of coming up with all your solutions. Intellect, faculty of thought. Gentiles, unbelievers, who walk, live in worthless thinking. About what? About life. About how we got here. What happens after death? Why we're going to live the way we live? Why we have the moral conduct we have? Why we have to do this and why we will do that? Why? Why is their thinking worthless? Being darkened, absence of the light of God, being darkened in their understanding. They are darkened in their thinking. They do not understand where they came from in truth. So people, if we deny where we came from, we have no responsibility to it. It's the best way of handling problems. Just deny it. My child's okay. There's nothing wrong with my child. Then you don't have to deal with the fact that he's failing in school, causing trouble, and all these things going on. There's nothing wrong with our marriage. Then you don't have to deal with it. If there's nothing wrong with my marriage, then I don't have to deal with it. And you amazed when you get the divorce papers. I don't know anything was wrong. Live in denial. You don't have to deal with it. This is the best way of escaping responsibility. Just deny it. Okay? They do not understand the makeup of the soul, Therefore, they do not understand what happens in homosexuality, sexual permissiveness, of verse 23 in Romans and following. Don't understand how it's all interrelated. And what happens to a soul when it gets involved in those things? What happened to the soul that caused it to get involved? What happens when it gets involved? Understanding the relationship of sex and the soul. Morality and the soul. This is where Paul is going in verse 23 and following. I'm just getting us ready for it. The relationship. If you start with God and you say there is no God, people, it is going to have its repercussions, its results in your life, in your thinking, and then finally in your moral conduct. It will affect everything. One of the interesting things brought out in the Ben Stein movie is how Hitler's selective breeding and killing off of sick and people that deny, was all from the Darwin idea. There is no God, and so we're going to have selective breeding and all these things. It all comes from your thinking process, people. Because how you and I first lay our, or we could live that at the foundation thing, it's that determines how we're going to build on it. Conclusions we're going to make about life. Why are they darkened in their understanding? Because they are excluded from the life of God. That's what our passage says. They're excluded from the life of God. Therefore, godless. Perfect passive participle. Apollo. Tereo, compound, apo, from, away from. Alotro is to alienate from, to alienate entirely. They are entirely alienated from the life of God. Now, the perfect tense, I know it's getting late, just bear with me, think, stay in the spirit. This is crucial and in closing up today. The perfect tense places emphasis on the present result of a past action. Whenever we have the perfect tense in the Greek, that places emphasis on what's going on now is based on something that happened before. Okay? Alright. The present result is that they are entirely alienated from the life of God. But the question is, what was the past action? How does one become entirely alienated from the life of God? What is the action that would result in being alienated from the life of God? In the past, at the point of God consciousness, they made a decision that there is no one omnipotent God. Or they rejected that the only way to Him, the gospel of faith in Jesus Christ. So, as a result, they are excluded from the life of God. Excluded from the life of God because of an action before. A decision about God, that there is no God. There is only one way to the life of God, by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. The life of God is just one of the 34 things that God gave to us, each one of us, at the point of faith in Christ. And we studied those 34 things in the stress, anxiety, and depression study. Perfect tense. Past, they made a decision about God or about Christ that resulted in their present condition of being alienated from the life of God. Passive voice again. Doesn't surprise us. Passive voice. Subject receives the action of the verb. They receive being alienated from the life of God by darkening their minds to the being of God. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance of God and His place in the universe, in the life of individuals, and in the rise and fall of nations. Ignorant as to what happens in the soul. In our thought, in the mind, when they deny God, when they deny Jesus Christ. What happens when you say no to God or to Jesus Christ? Your ability to think becomes ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the truth. See? Ignorant of reality. That's what they're ignorant of. So they've got to make all their speculations and all their understandings based on denial of that. Denial of the being and the place of God. You just cannot push God out of your life, out of your thinking, without this affecting your soul, your thought process, your morals, every part of our being. It simply cannot happen. So many parents are trying to rear their children without God, without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without living in the Word, without the grace and love of God. People, you can't do this without it having results. It's going to result how your child is going to grow, how their moral conduct is going to be, how their thinking is going to be. You can't do it. You can't do it to yourself. We can't do it to our children. Not raising them in religion. In other words, this last point here is religion isn't the answer. Religion is not the answer. Religion is man working for God. Christianity is God working for man. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Okay, the word ignorance that's in them, the ignorance of God, ignorance of Jesus Christ, which leads to inaccurate thinking, inaccurate understanding. You're out of the realm of reality about the origin of life, about death, what happens after death, conduct, what happens in gross immorality, homosexuality, lesbianism, lack of discipline, the absence of God. People, we don't understand what's going on. And it's no shocking surprise that America is becoming more and more and more perverted. When you take God out, these are the only results that are going to happen throughout all history. Whenever one excludes God from their thinking is without the knowledge of truth. And they are in ignorance of truth. And only the truth will set you free. Will bring you back to the sound thinking, to sound judgment. So this becomes a great issue. Why is there ignorance in them? Okay, let's see if we can go through this. Here's the makeup of the passage. Because of the hardness of their heart, the hardness of the heart, continually saying no to God, no to Jesus Christ, hardened to the truth. So let's take a look. This is what I was thinking. Let's just look at our passage now. You can look at your text, but here I'm going to put it together for you in sort of a outline form. As Gentiles walk or live in the futility of mind, being darkened in understanding, alienated from the life of God. Gentiles live in futility of mind, alienated from the life of God, because of ignorance in them of God, because of the hardness of their heart, having become callous. So how does the unbeliever, Gentile, who is an unbeliever, live in futility of mind, thinking that everything is right, alienated from the life of God, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So this is the passage. So our passage in Romans 1:21-22, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations on how we got here, where we're going, what all this is about. And their foolish heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. No, foolish, you become fools. If you think out of the realm of reality, that's what you're going to become, out of the realm of reality. In closing, please open your Bibles to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool, now what is a fool? Thinking out of the realm of reality, has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is the Hebrew word, intellectually dense, not in the realm of reality. Their thinking is, there is no God. They are corrupt. Where? They are corrupt in their thinking. The Hebrew word for corrupt is ruin. To pervert, to corrupt. It's the result of saying no to God. People, you cannot cut God out without there being repercussions. Don't think you can do it. I can cut God out. I can cut Jesus Christ out. It's going to affect your thinking. You've got to come up with things that are going to fill it in. Corrupt thinking affects every area of our life. Where we came from, where we're going, therefore how do we live today? And have committed abominable injustice. All their rationalization, conclusions are abominable, evil. The word here, injustice, is the word unrighteous, that which deviates from what is right. Deviates from what is right. Okay, let's look at Psalm 14. Psalm 14. I'm just going through this ending here rather quickly. Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. That's the immorality. That's the moral things that are going to happen. There is no one who does good. Good meaning what is right. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. Corrupt in their thinking. And then in their moral. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Do all the workers of wickedness not know? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? And do not call upon the name of the Lord? What's eating up with the people? It's teaching our children. There is no God. These things, to passing it down. Verse 5, there they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. You would put to shame the counsel of the afflicted, but the Lord is his refuge. As more and more people say there is no God, it's evolution, it's Darwinism. People, it's going to be hard on our children to find refuge in the Lord. It's going to be tough. I feel for them. It's going to be very difficult to say, no, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. Well, you're foolish. It's going to be hard to take a stand in their soul and say, no, you're the foolish one. Verse 7, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come to Zion when the Lord restores his created people. Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. Look at Psalm 10. It's close enough. I know where I'm out of time. Psalm 10, this time we'll just read two verses instead of all. Psalm 10, 3 and 4. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked in his haughtiness and his arrogance, and his countenance does not seek after him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. I'll read Isaiah 32, 6. For a fool speaks nonsense, and his heart inclines toward wickedness, to practice ungodliness, and to speak error against the Lord, to keep the hungry person unsatisfied, and to withhold drink from the thirsty. And what's the food and what's the drink? It's the truth about God. It's the truth of the gospel. There will always be those who want the truth. Maybe it's be one or two, but you have that answer. So what Paul has done now, first he gave us in the first 17 verses, the solution, the gospel. Verses 18 through 22, how man has repressed God, the being of God. Verse 23 now, we'll try to go through it rather quickly, will have the moral ramifications. What happens when a society continues to say no to the being of God? Morally, his mind, his thought process, scientifically, ideologically, philosophically, and morally. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. For the sake of time, our prayer, let's let our prayer be a song. Let's all close this morning, stand and sing Psalm 448, Because He Lives. 448, and this will be the concluding prayer. You're dismissed after the song. They call him Jesus.